From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 10th day of November, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets in this week's USDA reports with Jackie Vakes. She's at Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. And we'll be joined by Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City to discuss the growing region's weather across the planet, all on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, I'm not out of the office today, but I am busy hosting the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Biannual Conference. So I called and talked to Jackie Vakes earlier about yesterday's USDA reports and some numbers that came out earlier in the week. We thank Jackie, by the way, for doing that. Jackie Vakes, thank you for being with us here. I appreciate you doing this early, and I'm wondering if we could maybe start with the support and resistance levels, recognizing that these would be through Tuesday evening and a bit of the opening trade overnight, but not for the Wednesday numbers.
Right. We can certainly do that, Todd. For corn, December support 541, resistance 596, same as last week, actually. March 522 and 572. The only one that changed was May, and that is 525 and 656 now for resistance. Beans for January, 1172 and 1290. March, 1173 and 1289. And here, too, May changed, now 1175, 1266. December gold, 1757 support, 1793 resistance. Dow Jones, 35,751 support, 39,923 resistance. U.S. dollar index, 93.76 support, 94.80 resistance. Bitcoin, December, 58,444 support, 69,500 is the resistance point. When we look at the managed money part of this, Todd, I couldn't get in time, so that's something we'll just have to skip for today. But export inspections, wheat exports running 15% behind compared to a year ago. It was 15% last week also. They have to average 15.6 million bushels to reach the USDA number. Corn 21% behind compared to 22 last week, 50.4 million bushels. And soybeans 31% behind on the year versus 45% last week, averaged 35.5 million bushels to reach the USDA estimate.
Yesterday, the United States Department of Agriculture released the crop production report for November, updating the numbers for corn and soybeans, and they also updated, of course, the monthly world agricultural supply and demand estimates. Which numbers did you find of most interest?
Well, I'll tell you what, I can tell you what the market found the most interesting were the bean numbers. There's no question about that. We actually saw beans up. The trading range was just gigantic, over 60 cents on beans. It rapidly went up over 50 cents up and then just fell back down and finished in the 20s. But the reason that happened, Todd, is because of the fact that they were expecting that they were going to raise the average yield to 51.9, and instead it came in at 51.2, which was actually 3/10 of a bushel less than last month. No change on harvested acres. Corn expected to come in 176.9, came in at 177. And the interesting part there was that the carryout on corn went from 1.5 billion down to 1.494, even though we saw almost a 50 million bushel increase in production. We actually dropped it, and that's primarily because of the fact that we saw them raise ethanol production by 50 million bushels to 5.25 billion. They didn't change exports at all, and that was a really good thing. So we still remain at 10.1% stocks-to-use ratio, still $5.45 average. Now, when it comes to beans, the one thing they did do on beans was they actually dropped the exports by 40 million bushels. And yet, we basically came in and only went up 20 million bushels, and that is primarily because of the fact that the carry-in remained the same. The production number went down by about 17 million bushels compared to last month. And so that offsets some of the increase. We are still on a 7.8% stocks to use ratio, but they did lower the average cash farm gate price from $12.35 last month to $12.10 this month. On the wheat side of things, we came in very close to the guesses. We did see the carryout go up, which I thought was interesting. The stocks to use ratio go to 28.8%. But the average cash price also went up by 20 cents. So I thought that, and that's a reflection of how strong the wheat market has been of late. When we looked at the world numbers, you're looking at the corn numbers in the world, of course, went up, just raised the stocks use ratio by 0.1%. The bean number actually went down, and that dropped the stocks-to-use ratio at the world level by 0.2%. And the wheat number went down, also dropping the stocks-to-use ratio by 0.2%. And so it was a very interesting report. Brazil came in last year. You know, the corn crop, of course, was 86 million, primarily because of all the Safrina problems. 118 million, just like last month. 144 million for metric tons for beans. Argentina last year had 50.5 million on corn. They're expected to have 54.5. That was a 1.5 million metric ton increase, primarily because of more acreage. And the bean number, 46.2 last year. Last month, it was expected to be 51. Now they've dropped that to 49.5. So there's a lot of things going on. And I think all of those are a reflection of what's happening in South America, and especially in Argentina, when you talk about El Nino.
You mentioned the yield numbers in the United States, which were 177 bushels to the acre for corn, 51.2 for soybeans. The corn number was up half a bushel to the acre, the soybean number down 0.3 of a bushel. Did you dig further into those numbers to see where the changes really came from?
Yeah, I was really curious, to be absolutely honest with you, because it seemed like you could have expected maybe, this was in the range. The average range of the average guess was 176.9. So this is just a 10th of a bushel bigger. But the interesting part was in Illinois, they actually dropped the crop 32.4 million bushels. Indiana, they dropped the crop 26.25 million bushels. Kansas, 5.3 million bushels. Missouri, 13.5 million bushels. And then just a few others that are smaller. Now, what made up the difference? Minnesota. They added 62.4 million bushels to Minnesota. Michigan added 7.8 million. And when you get down into Nebraska, added 9.6 million. South Dakota was a real biggie, 22.6 million more bushels of corn than what had been expected last month. And so these hybrids are amazing, Todd. I'm telling you, it's just shocking when you come right down to it.
And for the soybeans?
Soybeans is interesting, too. And that was, how did we end up with 0.3 of a bushel less when everybody expected it to be higher? Basically, Illinois stayed the same. Indiana lost almost 17.1 million bushels. Iowa, 10 million. Kansas, 4.8 million. Ohio, 9.6 million, almost 9.7 million, actually. Oklahoma, 1.6 million. And the additional or the adjustments higher came in Mississippi, 2.19 million more, Nebraska, 5.55. And Nebraska was pretty big on both corn and beans as far as raising things. South Dakota, 5.45 million bushels more, and Tennessee, 1.47 million bushels more. So when you looked at the net effect, it dropped by 23.1 million bushels total, and that's where the 0.3 of an acre or bushel per acre came from. And we didn't have any change at all in harvested acres. It's just a difference in yield.
One other USDA set of numbers that I'd like to take you back through, which came out on Monday morning, and these will be used in the 2022 Ag Forum. The 10-year projections that USDA comes out with each and every year. I made note that by the time we get to 2031-32, that they have the corn-soy ratio classically at 2.5 to 1, at $4 a bushel for corn and $10 a bushel for soybeans. But I'm wondering if there's anything that you picked up out of those numbers.
Well, I think it's interesting because you know, all the way until 2029, we remained at, you know, 90 million bushels, or 90 million acres, basically. And then all of a sudden, you get to 2030 and 2031, and we drop down to 89.5. And they don't really, you know, if you look at adjustments coming in, some of the adjustments are coming in from wheat, and upland cotton is picking up some acres. And when you look at the you look at the overall soybean acres, you know, 89.5 for corn, 88 million for beans. Those are some pretty significant numbers. Now, if we look at 2022, we're looking at 92 million for corn, 49 million for wheat, which would be quite a jump, but not a big surprise with when you look at what the wheat price is. Cotton acres going up, again, not a surprise. And bean acres at 87.5. So total acres, though, that's the thing that I always look at. What do we have for total acres? Well, they're projecting 255.5 million acres for 2022, and that is corn, sorghum, barley, oats, wheat, rice, upland cotton, and soybeans. If you get out to that 2031 level, we're down to 251.7 million acres. So there's that 4 million acres of question as you get that much further out. But I think that, you know, just in general, they are expecting in 2022 to see more harvested acres. And I don't think that that's an extreme surprise for us either. You know, it's just, these are just purely mathematical situations. They're nothing more than that. You know, it's based on the general rotation. It's based on the CRP acreage, what's coming in, what's going out. And so it's always a great tool to have, but not something that necessarily holds up every year. So as an example, 2021, 93.3 million acres of corn and 87.2 million acres of beans. So, you know, it's just what I've always been told by the USDA is that these are the numbers that we need to take up the hill so that, you know, they have projections as to what's going on. And this is as close as we can get for a 10-year time frame.
One final note before I let you go for the day. You always like to take a look into South America. What do you see this week?
Well, it's, you know, 92% of the safrina corn in Mato Grosso is being planted in what you would call an ideal window because they really got on their beans early this year. The big question is going to come in, and that is it going to actually get dry in the southern part of Mato Grosso? And nobody knows. I thought everybody would be interested to know the average corn price in Mato Grosso this week is $6.01 a bushel. And that's actually down 1.1% from the prior week. So they're definitely not competitive when it comes to selling corn. Farmers in Bahia, they're just starting to plant their cotton at this point in time. And domestic cotton prices are really good. And so they're expanding their acres. They're actually adding 658,650 acres, up 9% from last year. And so there too, it's an ongoing trend in Brazil. And that is to see more and more acres all the time. Now, when we look across South America, these are the areas that I would say are being the most concerning. La Nina is in place, and that potential dryness during November, December in Argentina and southern Brazil is extremely important, especially seeing that the farmers in, you know, Argentina break up their planting. And that happens to be, December happens to be one of the, you know, winter solstice, the 21st of December, is one of the hottest times of the year. And if La Nina really kicks it and makes it dry, it could make it a very tough situation. They're forecasting drier for the next 2 weeks in Rio Grande do Sul, which is in southern Brazil. Soil moisture in Argentina is definitely less than desirable. And we're seeing much slower than average planting pace in Argentina. And that's understandable. I mean, the guys just, you're not going to put it into the ground if you just don't have the moisture. They can't do that. And so everything remains to be seen as to how these numbers are going to shake out as the year goes on and if we're going to actually see the kind of production that we're currently estimating.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Todd. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Jackie Vakes is with Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. Well, the Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media and University of Illinois Extension. You can always find our programming online to listen to anytime you'd like, including our Commodity Week program. That's our weekly look at what's happened in the marketplace. Commodity Week in the Closing Market Report at WILLAG.org. Just click and play either of the programs from there, or you can look them up in your favorite podcast applications. There are links at WILLAG.org too as well, down at the bottom of the page. To places like Stitcher and SoundCloud, NPR One, Spotify, Google Podcast, and Apple Podcast. And in between, you'll find the USDA reports along with information that comes from the Ag and Crop Scientist, the Economist, the Animal Scientist from right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. On this Wednesday, we're joined by Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Drew, there's a lot of ground to cover, really a lot of ground to cover today. I want to start with Australia. You and I had been talking about that crop and a wheat crop in particular, but other crops should be in the midst of harvest or thereabouts. You were worried about rainfall. Is that still the case?
Yeah, I have been concerned about it because in many La Nina environments like we have right now, the harvest in Australia does tend to be wetter. And if you go back and look at the last 30 days, some of Australia has been wetter than normal. But it's always about timing, right? Who gets the most rain and how often. And what it turns out is that we're right up against the wall right now. I think most of Australia hasn't crossed the line on quality yet, but it is wet in some areas, and they definitely need to dry down. Well, it just so happens that tomorrow and Friday are the last days for this rainy pattern. They should go a week to a week and a half without much moisture. And I put that in quotes, but you're not going to have the kind of rain we've been having. So I think they're going to get away with this, and they're going to end up with this, second greatest wheat and barley crop on record and a record canola crop. And looks like they're going to get it off without too much trouble. Of course, we still have the harvest that goes into December, so there's still more ground that has to be covered, as you put it.
Let's stay in the southern hemisphere. Start in Argentina, maybe with the wheat crop there, and then talk a little bit about what you think conditions are like in Brazil as well.
Yeah, in Argentina, they have really got very fortunate this year, I think, given the environment that they started with a droughty environment and La Nina breathing down their necks. But La Nina never really got its act together quickly enough to have a huge impact. I'm sure that their yields might be a little light in parts of the country without a question, but it has been raining periodically in Argentina over the past couple of weeks, and the crop has really turned around. The majority of that wheat and barley is reproducing, filling, and some early maturing occurring. This is in the south half of the country. The northern crop is already gone or at least mature. But the rainfall that's occurred has really been very well timed, and I think they're going to end up with better than expected yields. And really, to a certain degree, the early corn and sunseed, which were struggling for quite a while with dryness, I think are making a nice turnaround too. And so they may not lose as much as they thought originally on that early crop. And of course, soybeans are just now going into the ground, and the situation there is pretty good. In Brazil, I think that really the situation there is also very close to ideal still. We have pockets that are dry, or at least drier biased, and we do need to watch southern Brazil fairly closely as we go forward through these next few weeks. La Nina tends to reduce rainfall relative to normal in the south one-third of the country, and so that could end up hurting them down the road. But as of this moment in time, it does look like timely rains are going to continue to occur. They're going to be lighter than usual, but there will be enough timeliness that I don't think there's any major reason to be concerned about Brazil as of now for the next 10 days. We'll see what happens when we get to the second half of this month.
You know, good weather is really boring. Let's hunt for something different. China had problems, I think, early, late in the growing season near harvest for the northeastern part of that nation. That would be prime corn growing country. Tell me about that and what conditions are like today.
Yeah, northeast part of China was much wetter than normal in the second half of September and the first week to 10 days in October. And I mean, we're talking real wet here. They couldn't get into the fields. And the Chinese put out a story saying that they were cutting their production a bit because it was too wet. And now I have no idea how much field work got done in the better weather that has occurred since then prior to this week. So I'm speculating that there might be a little bit of crop that's still out there standing in some of those fields. And along this week, we did get a major snowstorm to occur. The snow accumulations have run from as little as 4 to as much as 10 to 15 inches. And some of this crop is probably buried in snow if it didn't all get harvested. And I don't want to start a vicious rumor that I can't, you know, support, but I am suspicious that there's at least some crop that's still up that way. And so this might not be a good thing for that. The rest of China's in great shape. There's not much precipitation occurring. It's pretty cold. They had the first hard freezes all the way down into the east central parts of the country, but I don't think that's going to make a whole lot of difference to anything. Rapeseed planting is going aggressively and will continue to do so. Most of the wheat crop is in the ground and favorably established, I believe.
I know you're cautious there on the Chinese corn crop and whether it's still standing in the field in snow. Just for those who are listening, usually they're about 3 weeks to a month ahead of the harvest season here in the United States. So if they got rain and they couldn't get in and now they were trying to get in and snowfall, that might very well be a pretty big issue. Speaking of snowfall, is there any snowfall indication for harvesting areas of the United States from the northwestern Corn Belt through the southeast?
There certainly is. We do have a little mini blizzard that's going to occur here Thursday into Friday. That's tomorrow into Friday. This will actually be a bigger event for Manitoba and eastern Saskatchewan, but it looks like northeast North Dakota and northern Minnesota will be involved. We'll see blizzard and blizzard-like conditions across most of northern and eastern parts of North Dakota and eastern South Dakota, as well as southern Minnesota. But the snow accumulations in some of those areas will probably be dusting to 3 inches. You get up into those areas near the Canada border, though, and probably looking at 3 to 6 inches, and just over the border, 6 to 12 inches. So there's going to be some travel issues up that way, livestock stress, certainly, and it's going to be nasty. We'll have some wind gusts, probably between 40 and 50 miles per hour on the backside of the storm on Thursday night into Friday morning. So it'll be pretty nasty. We'll get a little bit of light snow in parts of northern Iowa and southern Wisconsin. Eventually, over the weekend, there'll be a second disturbance that will come across some of that same area, and this time will work its way through Michigan, and we'll get a little bit of light snow in some of those areas. Meanwhile, in the lower Midwest, doesn't look too bad. We've got a little rain and thunderstorm activity that will occur later today and tonight and on into Friday morning. It'll be a fairly quick moving line, and then they'll go right back into some better harvest weather. They'll miss out on the weekend event. Their next system will probably be next week, early to midweek.
I love to take our planet-wide tours each and every week. Thank you so much, Drew.
You bet. Have a great afternoon.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.